Okay, today's shiur again is L'Refua Shlema, Chaya Hadas Bas Rachel. Here we go. Mem Tes Amabez. Okay, yesterday what was, if you want to review it, it's chock full. It was Amad Aleph, Amabez, it was everything there. Shabbos Mem Tes, don't forget that daf. Okay, now we go on to Shabbos Daf Nun. Shouldn't forget this daf either. But try to make it quite a few memorable items as well. Okay, the bottom of Mentasma Base. This is a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on the previous Amud that you're allowed to be tomin, you're allowed to insulate in animal skins and be metaltal the animal skins. That's what the Gemara had the discussion about, what types of animal skins, only of the balabayas or even of the uman, A. And B, the second line was begizei tzemer ve'in metaltel no son. But the gizei tzemer, the wool that you're allowed to use it. It's meaning it's only a davar ha'maimit hevel. It's not called a davar ha'mosif hevel. And therefore, before Shabbos, you're allowed to insulate in them ve'in metaltel no son. But you're not allowed to be metaltel. And the Gemara goes through the Mishnah goes through the whole discussion about how to take off the pot cover without being metaltel the muksa, which we'll get to at the end of today's shiur. Amar Rava. So Rava says the Havamina, as Rashi here points out, is that we assume that these two phrases in the Mishnah have nothing to do with each other. They're two separate sentences. Begizei tzemer ve'ein metaltel. You're allowed to be matzmin, and separate sentence, you're not allowed to be metaltel. In other words, Amar Rava lo shanu ela shel taman bahen. When do you have an isser of tiltel? When you have not used it for hatmana. Because then it's muksa, you're going to use it for something else. It's muksa machmas chesrut kiss or some other type of muksa. So therefore, it has to be it's muksa. Elam taman bahen. But once you use it for hatmana metalzon osan, then you would be able to move it, because then you're obviously being megali your das that you want to use it for a certain purpose on Shabbos, and therefore it wouldn't be muksa. So then the Gemara asks right away, Asiya hu merabanan bar yome larava, a certain rabbi on his first day in the Beis Medrash asks Rava, he's has the ability to stand up, he's not too shy. Tomen begizei tzemer ve'in metaltel nosan. Look at the lashon in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're allowed to be tomein in begizei tzemer and not allowed to be metaltel. Ketzed hu osa, and the Mishnah then goes on to describe how you're able to get your pot out without being metaltel the begizei tzemer, even though you just use it for atmana. So obviously see that even once you use it for atmana, it's still going to be muksa. So how could Rava say that, once you use it for hatmana, it's not going to be muksa anymore? You see our Mishnah. The pashas of our Mishnah is you used it for hatmana, and still you have to worry about the special way of getting the pan out without touching the muksa directly. No tlatzakisi vehe noflos, the top of the Amud says. Right? So for that, it can't be that once you use it for hatmana, that's already enough to be megala yudas, that it's not going to be muksa. So this is really what Rava meant. Amar Rava, second line. You're right. One time usage for atmana is not enough. But what you have to do in order to take away, remove its status of muksa, is to be miyachid for atmana. If you designate, Rashi says, la'olam, second Rashi, forever. Meaning if you designate that this is going to be used for atmana, so then that's going to be enough. A one time, aval yichdim lahatmana. So that's why if you were miyachid for hatmana, it's going to be muksa, even if you used it once for hatmana. Aval yichdim lahatmana metaltel nosan. But once you were miyachid, you designated it for hatmana, then you can be metaltel. Therefore, in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about a case of it's still muksa, even though you used it, you weren't miyachid yet. You used it once. Let's say you ran out of insulating items on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, it's still muksa. Mashenki, what did Rava mean? Rava meant this issue of yichtan and lo yichtan. And the rest of the first amud of today's daf is going to give other examples and various opinions about if you have an item that's muksa, what do you have to do to remove its status of muksa? How far do you have to reflect your das in action or in thought in terms of creating something that is not muksa? Okay, we'll give a few examples halakha l'maisa also, but the most of the Gemara is going to talk about items that don't come up so much in our houses. But itmar nami. But remember, how did we get into this? Because the Mishnah talks about hatmana and items that you use for hatmana. How do you remove its status of muksa? Once it talks about that, so we have the first amud of today's shir will be about that issue, about removing a status of muksa. Itmar nami, by things that inherently are not mukhan. Right, by a tissue box, you don't have to do anything to remove its status of muksa. It's not muksa to start off with. by most items that have a usage on Shabbos, so those don't have, you don't have to remove anything, a sefer, a table. Only items that normally, objectively, you would say have no uses on Shabbos, rocks, dirt, a stapler, which is a certain type, that's klishim lachtel iser, any of these, that you have to do something or think something before Shabbos in order for it not to have the status of muksa once Shabbos starts, once Beit HaShemashah starts. Okay, so that's what the that's what we're in store for today. In Marnami, Kiyazar Rav and Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Asi Ben Shol, Amar Rebbe Lo Yuchshanu El Shalu Yichten Lahatmana, Lo Yichten Lahatmana Metalat Lanosan. Right, same statement that Rava said, that once you're miyachid it, once you designate it laolam for hatmana, so then it's not muksa anymore. Ravina Amar, Ravina says no, a different answer to explain how Rava's statement, Rava's first statement on the bottom of the previous amud, that Rava said no, if you want to use it for hatmana, it's good enough not to make it to make it non-muksa anymore. There's another way to understand the Mishnah. You don't have to say the Mishnah is a case where you weren't miyachidit. This is answer number two. B'shel heftek shaninu. No, we're talking about heftek. What's heftek? So Rashi in the first skinny line, heftek. Ma'aracha gedola sha'orchin u'moshivin lahaksosan l'schora. It's a certain type of muksa, which is really muksa. It's a certain pile of, it's a ma'aracha gedola, a big pile of materials, which really... the normal person sets it up this way in order to use it for business. Whether it's clothing, whether it's wool, whether it's chagavim, right, grasshoppers, ubasar maluach, whatever it is, heftek means a certain way that you make a pile of material that shows that you're going to use that for business, for the marketplace. So those materials, there you have to go above and beyond. There, just a one-time hatmana wouldn't be good enough. And that's the second answer how Rava's statement works with the Mishnah. Usually, maybe you don't even need yichdan l'atmana. Just one act, one time using it for atmana would be good enough to remove its shame muksa. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, use it for atmana, it's still muksa. That's Mishal Heftek. It's a special case where you have items which are really super duper muksa. And if it's super duper muksa, so then you have to go above and beyond regular hachana action in order to make it ready to use for Shabbos. Tani Nami Hachi, we also say, by heftek, Gizei Tzemer shall heftek, Ein Metal Tzlenosan, if you have wool shearings of heftek, you can't be Metal Tzlen, because they're generally assumed to be Muksa. V'miskina Balabayis l'shtamish by Metal Tzlenosan, but if you would, the Balabayis would do something, be misakin them in order to use them on Shabbos, so then it would be okay. Okay. Tana Rabba, about the 8th line, 9th line, and Amar Aleph. Tana Rabba Barachana Lakami Duraf. Chakarios shall dekel shagidrom la eitzim v'nimlachalein liyeshiva. You have these dekel, these palm branches. So you have a bunch of branches that you gather them to use for firewood. So at this state in your minds and in before Shabbos, it is muksa because you're not going to use these. They're branches. They're muksa, and you can use them for firewood. No use on Shabbos. But then v'nimlachalein liyeshiva. Then you decided, you know what? I'm going to use them to sit on. I'm going to use it to sit on. You know, they don't have regular chairs. You're going to sit outside on these branches. So what do you have to do before Shabbos in order to make them not muksa anymore? That's the discussion. Shita number one, Sarach Lakasher. You have to, Tanakama says, you have to tie them together. Right? So Rashi explains, Lahochiach, Shel Yeshiva Omdim. These right now are in the status of muksa. You have to do a positive action in order to remove its status of muksa. So tying them down shows you wouldn't tie them down firewood. You're just going to throw the firewood into the fire. So the fact that you tied them down shows that you want them together in order to create a place for you to sit. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, ain't Sarach Lakasher. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't even have to be Makasher them. And as we'll see what he holds, you know, even just thinking about using it for sitting on would be good enough. Hutani love who amar la halacha k'shem gamliel, and this Tana in front of Rav even said we hold like k'shem gamliel. Ain sarach lakasha, you don't have to tie. Itmar continue similar. Rav amar kosher. Rav says you have to tie like the first opinion before. Shmuel amar choshev. Shmuel says no, even choshev is enough. Rav Asi amar yoshev. Or the correct gears seems to be what the Dibur Maskil of Rashi is, and other Mefarshim, Yashav, instead of Yoshev. Yashav, meaning if he sits on it once before Shabbos, Afal pi shelo kishev, Afal pi shelo kishev, even if he didn't tie it down, or he didn't even think he was going to use it for sitting, if he sat on it once before Shabbos, that is good enough. Interestingly, the pashtus of this Gemara, and this is what Tosfos assumes in Dibur HaMaskil V'im, this is what the Ran assumes here. It's not like from our Gemara that what's the lowest level? What's the, even if you only did this, is enough. You don't have to do the other two. What's the lowest level here? What? You say, what? You would think that's the lowest level? What is Ravazi's Lashon? Yashav, afal pishalo kishir, afal pishalo kishav. The pashas of the Gemara seems to be Yashav, sitting on it without thinking about using it, without thinking about, without tying it down. That's interesting. The physical act could be more garua, could be weaker than thinking about it. According to Ravasi, you don't have to think of, let's say the other opinion, let's say Shmuel. Shmuel says you have to think about it before Shabbos that you're going to use it. What if you actually sit on it according to Shmuel? Not good enough. Thinking about it without doing anything, that's good enough. That's the pashas of the Gemara. That's what the Tosfos is lashon. Lechora in the middle of Tosfos v'im. Lechora yeshiva geria mimachshava, which is a big, which is a chiddush in Lamdas. Now to say that sitting on it is worse. There's a balamar later on in Besach Shabbos that disagrees. He has a different way of reading the Gemara. But either way, the pashas of the Gemara. This is a case where you have that thinking about something could be stronger than doing an action regarding removing muksa. Okay, it's just a ha'ara. Says, continues the Gemara. Bishlama Rav. So we have two parallel machloksim. So we can link up two of them, parallel them. Bishlama Rav Huda Amar Katana Kama. So Rav, who says kosher, holds like Katana Kama, who says kosher. But Shmuel Nami Huda Amar Kosher Gamlio. Shmuel, who says choshev, holds like the previous Rav Shimon Gamlio, who says Ein Zarech L'Kasher, who says choshev. So we have two parallel machlokas Amaran and a machlokas Tanoim. El Rav Asi Amar Kaman. What about Rav Asi's the third opinion that we just had? That just sitting on it once, without thinking about it, without tying it, which, who is he parallel to? So Gemara says, El Rav Asi Amar Kaman, Huda Amar Ki Hai Tana. There's another opinion out there. There's another Tana. Titania, there's a Tosefta that says, Yotzin Ba Pakorin Ubitzipa. One could go out, what are Pakorin and Tzipa? Pakorin, Rashi says, is Pishtan Saruk, combed flax, and Tzipa is Tzemer Menufas, combed wool. Remember, Menafetz. It's one of the Avos Malachas. One of the less known. Combing raw materials. Not combing your hair, we'll get to later on in the daf. That's not Menafetz. But Menafetz, combing raw wool, raw materials, is that Malacha. So the Brisa says, Yotzin b'pakorin u'batzipa. You're allowed to go out on Shabbos with these items. Bizman shet savan bishemen, according to some Rishonim, at a moment that you dunked them, you dipped them in oil, v'karchan b'meshicha, and you tied them with a string. What is it? What does it mean? Go out. So according to Rashi, this is a hotza'a b'raisa. It means when these things are not usable. They are they're it's a hotza'a b'raisa which has effects on halachas of muksa. Tosfos think this is also about muksa itself. But either way, it doesn't make much of a difference for our purposes. So Rashi says, if you have these materials, they're usually used for what we would call a band-aid. They're usually used to protect a wound, but also make sure your clothes don't get bloody from the wounds. Not so much giving positive medicine, but just acting as a protection of your clothing and of the wound. So these materials are usually unusable, but what do you have to do before Shabbos in order to show that you're going to use them for this purpose? So says the Brisa, if you use them, Yotzin, Bizvan Shet Savan B'Shemen, if you dip them in oil, V'Karcha B'Meshicha, and you tie them up, V'Lot Savan B'Shemen, V'Lot Karcha B'Meshicha, and Yotzin B'Hem. So then you can't go out with them. But also, not only, let me just get back to what I said before, this not only is a Muksa issue, Rashi says it's also a Hotzah issue. If you didn't do these acts before Shabbos, then these things on a person's body would be called a Masui, would be called a burden. I think we mentioned a couple of days ago, one of the issues of Hotzah, in a place without an Eriv, you have to determine what is Batel, to what is considered part of a person. A person's clothes, he's allowed to go out with clothes on into a place without an Eriv. Those clothes are bottled to the person. Carrying something, what's called a masui in halacha, a burden, would not be allowed out. So Rashi says that's also what this Rice is talking about. When does something go lose its status of masui, and it's called something that you're allowed to go out with on Shabbos. But either way, the Brisa says, this is what you have to do before Shabbos in order to make these usable. But then the Brisa says, v'im yatza b'hen sha'achas b'bod yom, but if you use these one time before Shabbos, afa b'shalot tzava, v'lokarcha b'meshicha, mutter latzeis b'hen, even if you didn't color them in oil, and the entire string around it still is mutter latzes, right? So this is lashitas Rav Asi, who says you don't have to think about anything before Shabbos, you don't have to do an act before Shabbos to wrap around. All you have to do is use it in the way that you're going to use it on Shabbos, just like Rav Asi said, sitting on the branches. That's all you got to do. You don't got to think about it, you don't got to tie it, just do the act that you're going to want to do on Shabbos. That's enough to remove the status of muksa. So this is a brisa that Rav Asi holds like. Very good point. We had way back in the case of the Zav that the Zav Yotze Bekishel, that was Machlokas. That was 2 days in the Tanaim based on two Mishnayos and Taurus, I think. I don't remember exactly whether a Zav is allowed to be Yotze Bekishel, whether if you wear it just for protection, it is good enough. So that's good. You have to figure out how to put the two Gemaras together. Because if you look in Rashi, that's what he says here. He says La in Bizman. In Dibur Basel Bizman, Rashi says, Lav l'refuah ninu. He says, clearly, it's not for refuah. I guess he's also bothered that this is going to be an issue of refuah on Shabbos. Right? So we're not talking about somebody who's violating that. Ela shalo yisritu malbusha ves makaso. You want to protect your makah. You don't want your malbush, you don't want your clothing to scratch the makah. V'havele kamalbush ta'alma. It's like a malbush. It's a good question. You have to work out exactly how this works with that gemar. Just another ha'ara, according to Rashi, Rashi says it's not refuah, it's just protecting your wound. Isn't protecting your wounds, also a type of refuah? So the answer, I think we've discussed in the past, and that is the issur of refuah on Shabbos, medicines, and the like, the gzeira, the rabbanah, does not apply when it's preventative. Only active refuah is asami drabanan for the types of cholim that aren't allowed to take it. But preventative is not a problem. So taking certain medicines to prevent, taking a Tums before you get the heartburn, that's mutter on Shabbos. Why? Because that's preventative. Any type of prevention, if you feel a migraine about to come on, even before it comes on, you're allowed to take medicine to prevent the migraine from coming. Any preventative medicine, that's one of the heterim of medicine on Shabbos. That, not just the heter, it was never included, was a nechlau in the gzeira. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi, the Gemara continues, Afanana mitanina. I have another Mishnah, actually this is a Mishnah later on, Kufim Aleph, that talks about just one act before Shabbos is enough to remove its status of muksa. Hakasha al gabi hamita lo yinane biyado. If somebody has straw on their bed, they didn't have mattresses in those days, they just put a bunch of straw on the bed. So lo yinane biyado, you're not allowed to, on Shabbos, move it around with your hands, because that's true as muksa. You move it around with your body, meaning in an unusual way, in order to lie down, in order to make it smooth, in order to lie down on. Avalam haya machal behema. Or if this is straw that you give to your animal, normally, so therefore it's already muchan in your house for a certain purpose. Osha haya alav karusadin, miba od yom. Or if you put a sheet or something on the straw from before Shabbos, Rashi adds in, and you lie down on it. That's the Lashitaso. And you didn't act to lie down on it. That's what Rashi adds in. Other Rishonim, the Ritva here says, no, you don't even have to lie down on it. You did the act of putting the pillow on or putting the sheet on. So either one of those, you didn't act before Shabbos. Minaneo biyado, shma mina. So then it's not muksa. You've already removed the status. You can remove it directly. Okay, like Shitas, Rav Asi, like we just had. Umatana, again, we're still in this discussion of different opinions, what you have to do with these items that are inherently muksa to remove their status of muksa. A couple more lines. Umatana de Palakadele, the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Who is the author of the opinion that argued with Reshbag earlier? Who was Reshbag? If you look back earlier, the first brisa that we had, across from Tosfos Varav, there was a machlokas between the Tanakama and Reshbag. When you take these branches, do you have to tie them or just think about them? So that Tanakama is anonymous. So the Gemara is asking now, do we have an opinion who we could claim is that opinion? So the Gemara answers, yes, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. One time, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva was going somewhere, and he found a bunch of these dekel branches that were gathered for firewood. And he told the Talmidim, go and think about them, this is before Shabbos, so that we can use them tomorrow. In other words, what did he say? Chishev, just thinking. Let's say, so far, that is Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara continues. V'lo yadana, the story goes that the person talking says, and I didn't know, ibeis ha-mishnah havi, ibeis ha-avel havi. I didn't know whether the reason that Rabbi Chanina said, just chishev is enough, I know he did that because it was giving a heter for a certain shas hatzchak situation, but I don't know if it was because it was a simcha or is it an avelus. But there was some reason why he was giving a heter that you don't have to do what you normally do. But so what did he tell them? They're allowed to do just chishev. Think about it. They don't have to do an act. So Gemara says v'dekamar yibes a mishnah havi yibes a avel havi. But the fact that it says he wasn't sure which one it was, dafka yibes a avel yibes a mishnah, the tridi. It must be the heter is only by one of these extreme cases, a house of an avel or a yibes a mishnah, a house of a shavah brachis. There, this tirda. There's a lot going on before Shabbos. That's where you give the heter, that all you have to do is think about it beforehand. Aval hacha, kasher in the kasher lo. But here, where in a regular, non-based mishnah, based aval case, we would assume that he requires something more, which is kshira, an active maisa that shows that it's not muksa anymore. So that's why we assume this Rabbi Chanina is the opinion who argues on Rav Shimon Gamliel earlier on the Amid. Okay? Period. Next. Yeah. Is there any concern of this is before Shabbos? So there's no issue of kosher. You're talking about before Shabbos. There is an issue of kesher shokayama on Shabbos, but here you're talking about what you're doing before Shabbos in order to make a namuks. Last skinny line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. A little more regarding this issue, but we also get onto other items as well. Machnas adam ali kubaso afer ba'usa b'chol tzarcha. A person could bring in a pile of dirt before Shabbos and use it for whatever he wants. Rashi says, let's say you get some, they used to have dirt floors in the olden days. So that's why there's issues of choresh and others inside the house also. But let's say you want to bring in some dirt in order, let's say you have some spills in the house on Shabbos. So what do you cover up the spills with? So you're going to throw some extra dirt on it. So you're going to bring in some dirt before Shabbos that you're going to want to use on Shabbos to cover up the dirt in the house. The question is, if you bring in some dirt and you just put it on the ground, so then it's balls to the ground. That is the ground, then that's going to be muksa. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But either way, if you bring it into your house before Shabbos, you designate that it's going to be some type of a usage, then in certain cases, it won't be muksa. Right? So this is taking something, we're already switching, we might be talking about a different type of muksa than we've been talking about, because here we're talking about dirt. Dirt is an example of what type of muksa? Mukhmas machlas gufo. It's something that's inherently muksa. Generally, doesn't have a purpose. A use is on Shabbos. So, but if you do something with it, so then it is mutter. Darsh mar zutra mishpeid mar zutra rabba v'hushi yichelo karen zavis. So the limitation is as long as you put it into a pile in a corner. Rashi explains if you just put it on the floor of your house, then it becomes your floor. Bundle to your floor, then it's no different than the dirt that was already there. But if you put it on a pile in a corner of your house, then you're showing that you want to separate this to use it on Shabbos, and therefore that is not going to be muksa, right? This comes up a lot. Let's say sand. Is sand the muksa or not? So taking a walk on the beach. You're allowed to take a walk on a beach, Hilchos Shabbos. The beach is empty. Let's say you want to, if you're somewhere, Tashlich. You know, Tashlich, let's say Tashlich. Right? So then let's say you go to the beach for Tashlich, so walking on the sand is muksa. No, that's walking. It's kilachar yad. You're also allowed to walk on dirt on Shabbos, right? So it's kilachar yad. It's walking. It's misasig. Many reasons why you're allowed to. But let's say picking up sand from the beach—that's muksa. That's aser, because sand is muksa. What about if I took the sand and put it in a sandbox and put it in my backyard for the young children to play with? So forgetting the Shabbos dick issues and forgetting the fact that you're going to get all dirty, but Mikra Din, that sand's not muksa anymore. Because you have now you have been miyach, like the Gemara says here, you've been miyachin makom, you put it into a sandbox on Shabbos. You can't add any liquid. That would be wash. That would be a separate malach of kneading. But just playing in the sand, it's not muksa anymore once you have designated it for a certain purpose, right? You did it as a toy. So just like if you could take anything before Shabbos and designate it as a toy. So that's, can you change the status on Shabbos? As we said, no. Generally, once something's muksa when Shabbos starts, if it's muksa even according to Rav Shimon when Shabbos starts, then it's muksa all of Shabbos. Dirt is called muksa machmas gufo. So if you don't do something to dirt before Shabbos, then it's inherently muksa. Muksa machmas gufo. So you can't move it directly. Okay. You can't go digging on Shabbos. So there's a question: if a child is doing something, then it's a separate issue. But how much you have to prevent your son or your daughter from violating certain malachas? Got to know how much to let him do. So as says the Gemara, Amar Rabban Kamei Rabbah Kamach Rav Shimon Gamliel. Who do we assume this is like? This opinion that says you put it into a corner. It's like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said earlier that you don't have to do an act to the item. You just have to think about it. But also here too. You didn't do anything to the dirt. You just brought it in, but you didn't like by the branches. The other opinion says you have to tie it. But here by the dirt, shouldn't you have to do something more than just bring it in? The fact that you don't must be, this is like a Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Dikrabana, because if it's like the other opinion who says you have to do a positive action, like you had to tie the branches, ha'amri bin a maisa, they say you have to do a maisa. You didn't do a maisa here. So isn't this opinion like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? So I'm a Rabbanan, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan. This could even be according to the Rabbanan, because I can look on a Rabbanan to be in a maisa. Where do you require an action done? Ela midei, midi debar avida be maisa. Something that you could do an action to. Branches you could tie a string around. So that, there you have to tie the string around. Because that's how you make it not mux anymore. But what are you going to do to dirt? You can't tie a string around dirt. There's nothing to do with dirt. So therefore, even, the Gemara says that even the Rabbanan, who usually require something more positive, would agree that a dover, Tabidi, Dala, Bar Maisa, you can't do anything more to this dirt. This would be enough, just putting it into the place, that would be enough for it to be not Muksa anymore. Okay, because you can't do anything else to the dirt. And then the Gemara says, Lema Kitanoi. Maybe this issue, when you have something that you can't do anything more to, is just thinking about it enough, that itself is a Machlokes Tanoi. Says the Gemara, Bakolchaf, and it's a Kalim. You're allowed to use materials to polish, we would call it. Rashi explains it. But to polish certain vessels on Shabbos, you're allowed to do that because it really doesn't do a perfect job. So, right, it's not going to be such a tikkun. Chutz, except for what you're not allowed to do, mikli klasef, from polishing a silver cup, begartikun. Gartikun, Rashi says, is some type of sediment on the bottom of a wine barrel. And if you use that specifically for silver kalim, in the olden days, Rashi explains that the silver kalim aren't hard like we have them today, but they were somewhat a little softer. And if you wipe them and polish them with this material, it would be smoothing. It would be smoothing the kli, and that would be an av malacha of mimachik. Mimachik is one of the malachas of smoothing. It was done in the process of the hides. They used to smooth the hides after they were processed. So this would be an av malacha. Ha, but the Gemara says that's the only exception. Ha, neser v'chol mutter. But the Gemara darshins that if you use these other materials, neser and chol and other sand, mashal be mutter to use them. In other words, for our purposes, they wouldn't be muksa. But v'hatanya neser v'chol aser. But we have another brisa that says using neser v'chol would be aser. So we have two machlokes whether you could use neser v'chol on Shabbos. So my lav. So let's say we're going to have three possibilities, but maybe the Gemara suggested first, what's the machlokas, whether you could use these other materials to polish on Shabbos. It's not a polishing issue, that's not the machlokas here. The machlokas is muksa. These are items that, well, they're like dirt. You can't do anything else with them before Shabbos except bring them in. So is it enough to bring them in? The mandaber that says mutter, it's enough. The mandaber that says aser, no, you still, these things you can't make. You can't, you have to do a ma'isa, because you can't do a ma'isa, you can't make them, not muksa anymore. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the machlokas. And the Gemara says, no. Lo tukumliya, this has nothing to do with muksa. Lo tukulia malobin and ma'isa. But lo kasha, harib Yehuda, the Rabbi Davashim is kavin asr, harib Shimon, the Rabbi Davashim is kavin mutter. No, the machlokas is our old Davashim is kavin Gemara. It's not a muksa issue, it's a polishing issue, it's a smoothing issue. These are items that might cause smoothing and might not. That's Davar She'ein Miskaving. You're doing a mutter act, A, which might or might not cause usher act, B. That's a machlokas, Davar She'ein Miskaving. Usher and mutter, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Before we reject that, just one ha'aris. This Gemara says that you're allowed to be chaf and kalim except for this kli kasef, but that's going to be mamachi. So I saw last night in the Nefesh HaRav, in Rav Shachla Sefer, about Rav Salvechik, we discussed this a few months ago. Rabbeinu Hayasavar Shamutr Lishtamish B'mischa Shinayim B'Shabbos. Right, there's a major machloka that poskim. We said four different shitas, but the Rav Salvechik felt that you could even use toothpaste, regular toothpaste on Shabbos. Again, many poskim do not agree with this, but this is what he felt. De'ein bazem yishu mamachik. He doesn't think it's mamachik. The issue that really was discussed was mamareach, which was the next step, but at least he didn't think it was mamachik. Al pi abraisa b'shabbos tafnunim an aleph. Right, our brisa, but kol chavad as a kelim except for this kesef. He says the leka iser mamachik b'meiser as halichlo chamud bak l'shinayim. The Gemara doesn't mention anything about like removing the dirt, the polishing itself being an iser. The issue is when you're removing a layer, you're smoothing out the silver itself. So he says, number one, there's no iser mamachik by removing the dirt on the teeth. And he says, and don't tell me that you're removing. We discussed this, David, dentist. right? That about that you're removing a layer of enamel, which is that you can't see, but they say on the commercials that you're removing it and it's becoming beautiful and smoother. The Rav says, number one, you can't see it, so halachically it might not matter. Number two, what if you keep brushing your teeth 1,000 times, your teeth don't disappear, so you can't say there's another layer that disappears every time you brush your teeth. Therefore, there's no issue of mamachik. Then it said that the Talmidim told the Rav that even Rav Moshe and his Shuva, Rav Moshe is the most machmir when it comes to brushing teeth, if you remember. Moshe doesn't even allow water on your toothbrush, right? Because he said that this is a schita. Forget liquid toothpaste. Forget even water. You can't even rinse it afterwards because of hachana. Rav Moshe is machmir on all of the issues regarding brushing your teeth. But then he says, what about mimareach? That's the real issue of the toothbrush, that you're changing the thick form, you're making it smoother. So that, the Rav is even makel there. Again, there are different shitas about what is acceptable, but he at least uses Gemara to prove that there might not be an issue of mimachik, which is the av malach, and the mareach, which is the tolda, that's a separate issue. Remember, there was also an issue of uvdin dechold. You have to have, some poskim Rav Yosef said you have to have a separate toothbrush, like the Mishnah Berurah says by a hairbrush. But that is the discussion of brushing one's teeth. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So we have two brises. One of them says you could use neser v'chol, these two materials, to clean or polish on Shabbos, and one says not. So first the Gemara thought that what is the machlokas? The machlokas is about muksa. The Gemara says, no, it can't be about muksa, it's about tavar shein and miskavi. The Gemara says, what do you mean? That doesn't work either. But mayu kimta lahadashari k'Rav Shimon. The one who said it's mutter, that opinion is Rav Shimon's, the author is Rav Shimon, but ema seif, if you look in the next line of that brisa, there's an iser of a lo yochlof behem sairo. But you could use it for these kalim, but you can't use it for your hair. But the Rav Shimon, mishra kashari. But according to Rav Shimon, it should be mutter. Ditznan, nazir chofef umafas, beis avalo sorek. Because a nazir is allowed to brush the hair on his head very softly. Avalo sorek, but you can't use a brush. In other words, a nazir, right, one of the three things a nazir can't do, he can't become tamei lemeis, he can't drink wine or anything to do with wine, and he can't cut his hair. So therefore, what about a nazir brushing his hair? Right, a nazir brushing his hair is a serious issue if the hair is going to come out. So the Mishnah in nazir says that he's allowed to do it in very soft ways where it's not going to for sure come out. It's not a psik resha for it to come out. It's davar shein miskaven, right? Davar shein machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is in Hilchas Shabbos and in Hilchas Kol HaTorah Kula. This has nothing to do with Shabbos. But you see from here that as long as it's davar shein miskaven, even on the hair, it's mutter. So therefore, how could you say the shita that matired previously in the Gemara, that can't be Rabbi Shimon, because then the safest is Asur. Rabbi Shimon should say it's mutter across the board. So, Ella, Havra, Ha, Rabbi Yehuda. Third possibility to explain the machlokas of whether you can use the materials or not. Havra, Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, they're both Rabbi Yehuda. V'trei Tanai, Libid, Rabbi Yehuda. Really, it's a machlokas Tanoim within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Tana, Libid, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Garir. Hai Tana, Libid, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Lo, Garir. Now, the machlokas is whether they assume it's not just a Davar Shein and Miskaven, but whether it reaches that level, meaning whether this item does this, is go rare, smooths out. According to one of the matirs, holds, it's not even a davar shein miskaven. It's not go rare. It doesn't smooth out the item. And that's why it's mutter. Let's just finish for a minute, and then we'll get to a period, and I'll take the question. But mayo kim to Rabbi Yehuda. So what, you said the opinion, they're both like Rabbi Yehuda now? Aim a seifa of one of the other ragla mutter. But the one that says usser, and we said that's Rabbi Yehuda, because the davar shein miskaven is going to be go rare, but the end of that, there's another line in there that says, but you're allowed to do it to your hands, face, and legs. But how never sayer, what do you mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's worried about taking off the hair, and even on the face and the hands and the legs, you have hair. Right, so therefore, why should that part of the body be different? So Gemara answers, no, it's talking about people who don't have hair on those parts of the body. It's either talking about a katan or an isha or a saris. These are three types of people who don't have hair, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Maskana, just to summarize these last few lines, we had two brises, one that said you could use these materials of chol and neser to wipe, to polish, whatever you're doing, and the other brisa that said you're not allowed to. Three different approaches in the Gemara, what the machlokas is about. Either it's a muksa machlokas, that was the first possibility why it was brought in here, either it's a davar shein miskaven machlokas, or it's a machlokas within Rabbi Yehuda, whether lamaisa, these items are garier, do take off hair when they're used or not. Nazir is a, how can you use Shabbos from Chol? As I just mentioned, there are the concept of Darashin Miskavin and Sikresha apply to Isurim, not just in Hilcha Shabbos. If I might or might not cut out some, rip out some hair, that is Darashin Miskavin and Mutter, even according to, even in Chol Torah Kula. In other words, that issue of Darashin Miskavin might not be, at least, it might be different in Karl Tarkula, but it's not totally focused as a function of Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas is a unique Shabbos halacha, but the fact that you see there are 10 Gemaras that have Darvashin and Miskavin outside of Hilcha Shabbos. So there might be differences between the Darvashin and Miskavin of Shabbos and the Darvashin and Miskavin of Karl Tarkula. But in principle, these halachas apply even outside of Hilcha Shabbos.
So the bottom line, so we said that if it's a Darvashin and Miskavin according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter.
If it's a Darvashin and Miskavin according to Rav Shimon, it is mutter.
The bottom line is,
the bottom line said, but there's the seifa of that price that said mutter, says you can't comb your hair with it. But according to Rav Shimon, that should also be mutter. So that's a Darvashin and Miskavin. Wasn't that case of psikresh? The Gemara did not assume that, because the Gemara quoted this issue of chofev and mafaspes of a low sorek. The assumption of the Gemara was that this case was like the first half, the chofev and mafaspes, that you're allowed to comb with your hand, just not hard with your hair. You're right, the Gemara could have answered if it's a Darvashin and Miskavin, even if it's a psikresh, even Rav Shimon would have agreed. The assumption is clearly that it's not a psikresh. Just one ha'ara, and that is, we're talking about combing the hair. We think the hair is only an issue by a nazir. The Mishnah Brura notes in very strong terms, if you want to look this one up, Shin Gimel Pei Vav, that he quotes a Yeshua's Yaakov, right? Ra'isi anashim mekilim lisra grosham b'shabbos. Forget a nazir. Yeshua's Yaakov says, I've seen many people comb their hair in the normal way on Shabbos with their regular brush. The kimat nasa hadavar keheter etzlam. And it's kimat, everybody thinks it's mutter. Nobody thinks, what do you mean? I'm brushing my hair. V'oy le'inayim shekach ro'os. Woe to my eyes that I have seen this. Lavar b'shut nefesh l'chalol Shabbos b'yadayim. If you ever look at your brush after you brush your hair, there's a lot of hair in there. Meaning it's kemat, if you brush your hair normally, it's a psik resha. It's for sure you're brushing your hair, act A, act B, cutting, ripping out the hair, which is a malacha d'araisa of tolesh, it's basically for sure going to happen if you do it in the normal way. Umei haroi l'kol chacham b'iro l'hazir al zeh. Right, so that's why every Rav, so whenever this comes up, you got to mention it. You have to worry. Ula yishmi uviyikhu musr. The Adkan Dvarav. And then the Mishnah Brura adds, the fact that people answer, what do you mean? I'm going to look disgusting. I'm going to go to shul. My hair's not going to be brushed. Right? Latakin kadishlo yizgane b'pnei chaveirav. Halo yochel lasos bofen heter. There are mutter ways to do it. You could do it very softly. You could use your hands. Whatever it is, you can't violate Isur d'araisa. We have that in brachas, right? For kavod abrios. And even if it's such kavod abrios, if your hair is not perfect, even if it is an issue of kavod abrios, you still can't violate Isur d'araisa for kavod abrios. Isur d'rabanan, we mentioned, right? That's the whole kelayim issue in brachas. You test afchav, but that is just an issue about combing and brushing one's hair on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Vayter. Amar Rav Yehuda, offer levain sashari. Rav Yehuda says, these are other items that the Gemara asks whether you're allowed to use to wipe, like to wash your face with on Shabbos, whether it takes hair out. Offer levain sah, crushed brick, dirt of brick, shari, that's mutter. That's not a problem. Amar Rav Yosef, kuspa dismin shari. Also something of the sesame, of the crushed sesame, is also mutter. Amar Rava, offer pilpili shari, dirt of pepper is mutter. Amar Rav Sheshes, barda shari, barda is mutter. My barda, what's barda? Amar Rav Yosef, it's a mixture of three items. Tilsa, ahala, tilsa, asa, tilsa, sigli. Three types of herbs, you're allowed to mix in and use it, it doesn't do anything, doesn't rip hairs out on Shabbos. Amar Nechemi Bar Yosef, a different shita about barda, kol hecha deleka ruba ala shaper dami. Rav Yosef said, about ahala. Rav Yosef said, no, it doesn't have to be only a third tilt ahala, but even a little more ahala, which must be a very strong element in terms of taking hairs off, as long as it's not the majority ahala, so then that would be allowed to use on Shabbos. Fine. Bo amine mer Rav Sheshes. Then they answer Rav Sheshes. Ma'ol if soa zeisin b'Shabbos. Can a person crush olives on Shabbos? According to Rashi, it seems like this Gemara has nothing to do with the previous Gemara. Right? Rashi says, can you crush Zesim on Shabbos? Rashi says, Lomatik Miriruso, to try to sweeten some of its bitterness. And the way Tosfos explains Rashi, the question is, in Tosfos Mahu, is this an Isser of Shivui Ochla and Tikkun Ochlim? Is this a Tikkun Ochel problem or not? Which is somewhat unusual, because usually the concept of tikkun ochel means it's mutter. This isn't borer, it's tikkun ochel. This isn't this malach, it's tikkun ochel. Here, Tosfos uses that phrase to explain an isser. That according to Rashi, you're allowed to smash these olives on Shabbos to make them usable. So it sounds like it's a tikkun ochel issue, nothing to do with anything we were talking about previously. Tosfos, the Tosfos Yishanim here in the little letters, and other Yishanim say, no, the issue is, can you smash them because you want to use what's inside to wipe on your face? Which is what we were just talking about previously in the Gemara. Either way, the Gemara asks, are you allowed to use this on Shabbos? Amar Lahuv, I'm sorry? Sorry, Nolad. Is it Nolad? Why is it Nolad? It was there. So you want the substance inside. So that we spoke about that a couple of days ago about Shivrei Kalim. Inside, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon does not hold that that liquid inside is Nolad.
Why is it not Mefarik?
So the question is, it doesn't say Befeir so far that any liquid is coming out. It might just be smashing it, you know, while it's still in. But you're right, is it Mefarik? Once you squeeze it, Zesim Ba'anavim are the two that are Daraisis. We're going to see later on. Squeezing out olives and grapes. But you're right, the Mefarshim, at least here, do not talk about that. So, Amar Lahu, V'chi B'chomi Hitiru, even on weekdays, it's not allowed to do this. K'savar Mishim Hefzad Ochlin, you're killing the olives, meaning you're mushing them. You're being mafsid this food, and you're not allowed to be mafsid food. Lema Pliga de Shmuel, let's say this opinion, which says this Usser argues on Shmuel. D'Amar Shmuel, Osa Adam Chatzarcha B'Shabbos. Because Shmuel, if you remember in Brachas we had, says you're allowed to do anything you want with bread. So the Gemara says, no, Amri pas lo me'isa hana me'isi. No, there's no machlokas. Shmuel over there says you could use bread because pas, let's say you wipe something up with bread. So that doesn't make ruin the pas. That's not being mafsid the pas. But hani me'isi, but if you do this to the olives, it's going to ruin them and it would be us. Ravashi, they were sitting. Barda, this mixture was brought in front of them. Ravashi Mashu, lo Mashu. Two of the rabbis used it to wipe themselves on Shabbos. Marzucha didn't. Barda Shari. Don't you hold that Barda is mutter? Rav Sheshe says this mixture is mutter on Shabbos. Amr Lahu Rav Mordechai, who also was there, said, Bar Mine Demar. No, Bar Marzutra doesn't hold of that. Even on weekday, he says, you can't wipe yourself with Barda. Why? Savalaki Hadatanya, he holds like the following, Tana, Megara Adam, Gilding Soa, the Gilding Makash Al Basaro, Bishot Sairo. A person is allowed to remove gildes, like crusts and scabs of dirt and makas on their basar bishol tsayro, meaning if something is bothering you, you're allowed to remove it if it's dirt. V'im bishvil liyapos, but if you're using this material that you're going to wipe on yourself to beautify yourself, even on the weekday, usser. Why is it usser? Rashi says, lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Right, to beautify, for a man to beautify himself is, according to this opinion, usher even on the weekday, because of lo yilbash gever, for a man to literally wear a woman's clothing, to do a woman's thing, that is inappropriate. The inhu kaman savruha, what about the other opinion who muttered it? So, ki hadatanya, they hold that it's mutter. Why? Because of the following. Rochetzan upon him yadav ragla b'chol yom b'shol kono. You're allowed to wash yourself every day b'shol kono, because of Hashem, for your creator. Mishum Shanamra Kopal Hashem Lamahneyu. So what does that mean for your creator? So Rashi gives two pshatim. Rashi says either Kibitzelam alokim ases adam, you gotta look nice because you're in the image of God. Number two is because when people see you, they can say a bracha, shakachalo bo'olamo. So they have to look nice in order for people to be able to say the bracha. The Maritz Chai says a third opinion here, he says to be healthy. Mitzvah to be healthy. So Maritz Chai lived 150 years ago. If you're in a society where hygiene includes washing and showering, etc., in order to stay healthy. So then, that's also part of the mitzvah of Roches Panav Yadav Aragla. There's an interesting, we don't have time to read it through, but there's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Raivin, about Roches Panav Yadav Araglav. You have to wash your face, hands, and feet. So the Rambam quotes that, Kitsurasa. The Raivin says, Raglav? What are you talking about? Doesn't explain what he means. He just says, Raglav? No way! So what's the machlokas about? It's a lot of discussion, right? So if you look in, that's why some, the Shulchan Aruch is machlokas, you have to wash your hands and your face every day, but he doesn't quote you the feet. The Shulchan Aruch leaves out the feet. So there's a tshuva in the end of the Nodeh B'Yehuda, Tanyana Arachayim, from the son of the Nodeh B'Yehuda, where he was asked, somebody asked him, why the Shulchan Aruch leaves out Raglav. Why there's a Raglav? So he has two explanations. What's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivin about feet? Why aren't feet, or whether you have to wash your feet every day or not? So first he suggests, maybe it's the machlokas that we've discussed in the past about netilas yadayim. We know there are two, there are famous machlokas regarding hilchos netilas yadayim. Why do we have to wash our hands in the morning? Nagavasar. So it's machlokas, the Rashba, and the Rush. The Rashba says, because we're like a kohen at the kiyar washing before we do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the kohen washes, so too every day we're being Oved Hashem. That's the Rashba. The Rush says, no, yadayim askanios. Your hand touched
places that were covered during the night, therefore you have to wash your hands. So says the son of the Rebbe Yehuda, maybe that's the machlokas here. If it's like the Rashba, the Kohen like washes the hands from the Kiyar, you give you gotta wash your feet, because the Kohen washed their feet even. Right? Like the that's like in the Beis HaMikdash. Masha Enkein, according to the Rash, Yadayim Askanios. Yadayim Askanios. Therefore, you're only going to have to wash your face and your hands. Maybe that's one opinion. But then he says that can't be, because we pass in like the Rashba. We pass in like the Rashba, that we're like the Kiyar, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the feet. Doesn't quote you have to wash your feet, so it doesn't work out the parallel. So then he says, no, the Machlokas is Pashtus. Pashtus Machlokas must be the Rambam quotes the Brisa, like an Ardah Kitsurasa, so like it appears. But you know what the Ravid says? We don't go barefoot anymore. Our feet aren't dirty. Our feet aren't revealed. We don't wear sandals anymore out in the open. That's why you don't have to wash your feet. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. It's not a fundamental machlokes. It's a metzias machlokes. It's about whether the society requires you to wash your feet. That's what he said. That the bismana talmud ba'artos mizrach haydakam shlo lubosh but they raglayim. Their hands were all dusty. Their feet were all dusty. That's why they had to wash. But bismana zeh. That's why you don't have to wash your feet. And that's generally what's assumed, that you don't have to wash your feet in the morning, but you do have to wash your hands and your face. Those are two ways to interpret that machlokes. Just one more ha'ara, and that is the Gemara here quoted this idea about you can't do something for beauty because that's like beget isha. There's an interesting discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. This quote in Kuflin Vav in Yaradeya. It's amazing Shulchan Aruch. Not everybody's aware of it, but we know the Ramah because it's mutter. But the Shulchan Aruch asers aser la ish la histakel b'mara mishum lo yilbash gever. A man can't look in a mirror, says the Shulchan Aruch, because of lo yilbash gever. El mk mishum refua, unless he's brushing his teeth or misap or getting a haircut, etc., etc. But so that's the Shulchan Aruch. That's why I once heard a Musar, who was one of my rabbis, like, sometimes we have to look into in the mirror, and according to the post, and they say, you're allowed to look into the mirror, and, you know, and get better. He said that as a derech aga. But the mother says, v'yesh omrim, ha'da asir liros b'mara, ha'na dafka b'makom she'in derech liros b'mara, rak nashim, v'yesh b'mishum lo yilbash gever. The only time when it's asir is if, in society, only women look in mirrors. Ava b'makom she'derech ha'anashim, liros gamkin b'mara mutter. But says the Ramah that if the derech of the society is even for men to look in the mirrors, then it's mutter. And then he says, even in a place where nagul hachmir, if you do it lirafua, because you have to remove something, you have to remove a kesem, a stain from your face, or something like that, or if tsar, so that is something that would be mutter. And that's like what our Gemara says. In Bishvil tsairo, it is mutter. And then Tosus even adds, in Bishvil, if your only tsar is that you're going to be embarrassed in public, that also is tsar. So therefore, if that also is their sign, and you'll be able to take it off. Okay, this is the issue of Beged Isha. It's the issue of Rechitzas Panav Yadav Raglav in the morning. Okay, I guess we have to stop here, but Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow we finish up a Metomnin, and we start the next three or four Perek topic of Hotsa'a. That's Bameh Behema. Okay, again, the Shia with today was the Refuah Shleima, Chaya, Hadis Bas Rachel.
Well, how would you recommend you shave if you came to the mirror?
So I say it's mother. I must say it's mother.
Sure.